Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 229 of Beyond the Supernatural. We are in the monster section. Yesterday we talked about the overall list of monsters we'd be talking about in this bestiary that is going to take up the rest of Beyond the Supernatural. We discussed the fact that the author exercised apparently very little care in choosing the monsters who would go in this section, and instead pretty much just cut them off at the letter H. Like, on the alphabetical list of monsters he could think of, he just stopped at H because that's where the page count ended. So we're missing out on a lot of classic monsters whose names start with letters that come after H in the alphabet, like vampires. But we do get some other monsters who maybe wouldn't have made the cut, some more sort of pesty type monsters whose names happen to start with letters that come before H. It's luck of the draw, and the lucky one today, ironically, is the Banshee, the classic omen of ill fortune. The Banshee is an odd duck in the context of Beyond the Supernatural. It's a trend we're going to see that a lot of these monsters are portrayed in ways that are recognizable, but somewhat altered from their traditional conceptions. The author likes there to be a weird secret behind the folklore about the monster. And in the case of the Banshee, it's that banshees are reputed to, like, wail as an omen of an upcoming death, or wail to mark a momentous death, or maybe in your more action-oriented stories, like in other role-playing games, for example, a banshee may wail and kill you with its wailing, which I feel sort of takes away from the dark folklore feel of the banshee, because if the banshee wails because someone has died, that's very ominous and spooky. But if the banshee kills by yelling, it's like hearing gunshots outside the castle. It's like, oh fuck, everybody get down, I just heard the banshee. That's scary, not spooky, you gotta know the difference. But the banshee in Beyond the Supernatural does something quite different from any of those options. Quote, when any living being dies, its PPE, potential psychic energy, is doubled and drifts away. The banshee feeds on the amplified PPE released at the moment of death. It can only feed on energy released at death, and cannot draw upon the PPE of ley lines, magic spells, mages, or magic items. Nor can it use PPE as anything other than food, and nothing else provides it with sustenance. This means, like a scavenging vulture, the banshee uses its psychic abilities to sense impending disaster and death, and goes there to wait for tragedy to occur. The impatient and gluttonous banshee may wail when the selfish creature grows hungry and death does not come quick enough for it, as well as when it becomes giddy with anticipation, howling like a happy animal. So, the banshee, as Beyond the Supernatural has it, is sort of like an overdramatic pet dog who, you know, can't tell time, being a dog, but gets that sense that dinner is going to happen here soon. I had a dog, Wilbur, who was good at this. So you can imagine Wilbur, who was sort of like a little mini chow type dog. He would see, like, oh, you know, the light outside, the things people are doing around the house, just the general vibe. It feels like dinner is imminent. So, you know, he'd go to the kitchen, he'd kind of mill around. But then sometimes, you know, maybe Wilbur, he's just a simple dog. He jumped the gun a little bit. So he's standing around, clicking his little claws on the linoleum in the kitchen, waiting for dinner. Dinner isn't coming. And pretty soon you start to hear those mournful doggy sounds. Very dramatic doggy sounds. Ooh, ooh. It's sounding like a doggy tragedy has occurred in the kitchen. You hear it and your first thought is, has my dog become trapped in some kind of a bear trap in the kitchen? No, it's like 20 minutes to dinner and the dog thinks dinner should be now. So a banshee is like Wilbur. It's not like an ominous portent. It's not like this grim foreshadowing of death, not directly. It's just banshees want to eat. They love it when people die because it's yummy. And so they hang around where people are likely to die. And then when nobody dies, they start going, oh, oh, this is taking so long. Oh. They start to get frustrated. But then if somebody does die or is about to die, because the banshee is precognitive and also has an overall view of the situation, right? They have the eyes of a scavenger. So if somebody's, you know, having fun, singing in the kitchen, making dinner, and they don't realize they've left the gas on, so the banshee knows, like, any minute they're going to try to light that thing and they're going to go up. Then the banshee just gets so excited to eat that he gets impatient. And so you're going to hear this persistent, like, ah, ah, ah. That's a hungry banshee. That's a pesky, hungry banshee who just can't wait. It's like you've got the bowl in your hand and Wilbur has decided to just try to like jump into your actual arms to eat out of the bowl while you're holding it because he just can't fucking wait. I can see that food and I need to be eating it right now. There's no time to set it down. You have a hungry dog depending on you. That's all that a banshee is. It's not spooky. It's kind of cute. However, the circumstances surrounding the banshee are not always cute. First of all, there's likely to be death, which brings down the general mood. However, it's even more dismal than that. See, banshees are not only associated with death, but also with negative emotions. Quote, "The banshee is an impatient and eternally hungry creature. If a death doesn't occur within 10 hours, it will automatically exude a sensation of despair or sorrow. This powerful, undirected empathic transfer will affect everybody within 60 feet of it. Note that the sorrow is not born from sympathy, but in that the foul being is itself feeling sad because nobody has died, and they are supposed to, and it is getting so hungry. As it grows even more hungry and frustrated, the banshee begins to moan like a dog left out in the rain. The wail is a long, deep, mournful howl that can make a person's blood turn cold. Its frightful moaning will make everybody nervous and jumpy, especially if they know what it is." And just as the banshee is attuned to feelings of like despair and sadness and gloom, it is also opposed to positive emotions. In fact, under natural abilities, the text says that banshees are, quote, "repulsed by love, goodness, joy, and kindness, and will avoid places where such emotions are strong." So if you're hearing a banshee, you have pre-existing problems. What you've done is you've created a situation where love is absent, joy is absent, there is no kindness to be found, and deaths are likely. Like a really miserable, unsafe workplace. That's where a banshee's prone to show up. They're floating around in the ether. They feel a strong sense of like frustration and misery and just like general antipathy of human beings toward one another. They home in on that and they find like a miserable factory where all the workers hate each other and it's not up to code and somebody's bound to fall in the machine sooner or later. That's where a banshee goes and it hangs out waiting for somebody to fall in the machine. And then only if nobody does for a little while, then does the banshee get hungry and start moaning. So what the moan of the banshee really means is this place is full of people who hate each other and one of them almost died but didn't. So you can see where maybe the people in the vicinity of a moaning banshee already are psychologically in a bad place. Don't put this all on the banshee. These people are already in a fucking misery. Don't put it on the ghost. That's a logical fallacy. Ghost hawk ergo propter hawk is what that's called, and that's a fallacy. If these people liked each other in this workplace, even if it were irresponsibly unsafe, there wouldn't be a banshee around because it would be driven away by the strong sense of camaraderie and love among the doomed employees. They might still die, but they wouldn't be fucking haunted. That's on, like, HR. Don't put that shit on the banshee. In fact, it's not even clear to me that a banshee can cause, like, gloom or fear among a group of people in a situation like that, because it never really comes together for me who can, like, hear and detect the banshee. It is naturally invisible. Quote, "natural state is invisible and it cannot make itself visible. Only those who can see the invisible can see a banshee, and only psychic mediums, sensitives, and others, quote, open to the supernatural can see or hear the creature." That seems to clearly indicate to me that only psychics can hear a wailing banshee. So when we get these powers like the one I mentioned, where you create this like feeling of despair or gloom or whatever, it's not clear whether that can affect these people at all. Because like, the same basic effect is described elsewhere in the entry. Quote, "as helpful a clue as the appearance of a banshee can be, its presence has a chilling effect on mortals who can see it, hear it, or even just know it is present. The banshee exudes an aura of doom, creating an omnipresent distraction and sense of gloom on all within 1,000 feet. Line of sight or earshot, -2 on perception rolls, -1 on combat maneuvers, blah, blah, blah." It says, "double those penalties for the psychic medium and sensitive and anyone else who can actually see or hear and or feel the banshee's presence." Notice that whole section starts with, "its presence has a chilling effect on mortals who can see it, hear it, or even just know it is present." I think under a strict reading of these rules, the banshee doesn't have any effect on you and you can't hear it if you're not psychic. Under a more liberal reading, it has like a reduced, like it just makes you a little sad. You can't actually hear it, but you're just a little sad and you don't know why. Probably because you work in a horrible fucking unsafe meatpacking plant or wherever you are that a banshee has decided to set up camp. But in addition to that, there's a banshee there, so now your sadness is even worse. You feel that much more grim about working in the fucking spam factory. Just when you thought spam couldn't get any more grim. It's new. Spam with ghosts. But yeah, you may feel sad, but I don't think you can hear the banshee. And I mean, there's some implication here that like, being so sad around the banshee might get to you and you might act rashly, but I don't think there's an indication that anyone's going to like hurl themselves off a catwalk into one of the spam extruders or something like that. So I feel like if you leave a banshee alone, you're not ever going to know it's there. You'll just feel a little glum, and then it's going to whine and you're not going to be able to hear it. And then when no one dies, it's going to go away. It's really a worse problem if a psychic shows up, because the psychic can see it. And note that it has double its depressing effect on anyone who can hear it, see it, or who knows it's there. So if you hire a psychic like, hey, come into my horrible squalid factory, see what's the matter. The boys seem a little morose for some reason. I tried giving them free access to the irregular and defective spam trough, but to no avail. They're barely picking at it. I need to hire a psychic detective to come in and pick up their spirits. If that psychic shows up and is like, oh shit, well, you got a banshee in here, it's making everybody extra sad. Now they all know there's a banshee, and it makes them even sadder. And the banshee is less likely to go away because here you are, a player character with a shitload of PPE in many cases and a high-risk lifestyle. I mean, you live your whole life like you're running along the catwalk in an unsafe spam factory. Of course, a banshee doesn't want to leave when you're around, and now it's making everybody sadder, which it likes. But ultimately, I think the dumbest thing on this page is just the rationale for the banshee, the fact that it wails not to foretell a death, which it can do, by the way, it is precognitive, but because it is impatient for somebody to die so they can eat their psychic energy, and it's just like a hungry dog. It just moans like a hungry dog. I'm real disappointed in the banshee. Join me next time when we move on from the banshee to the bogeyman, also known as the Raven's Tears, and revisit a case from the Beyond the Supernatural archives on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.